Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast, and welcome to another Top 5 episode. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how you doing tonight?
Yo, I'm very curious and interested to see where tonight's episode goes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I thought this was a good time to bring in a top five Stephen King. Obviously, great author. He's been in a million different things as far as people using his work. You know, with us doing Stand By Me this week, this is the perfect time to bust out a top five list. Now, I will say, this was very tough to make, as these usually are. I'm very interested to see what your picks are. I'm curious if you think we'll have a lot of similar choices.
I feel like we're not going to.
Okay. I am very much looking forward to that. I'm sure you're going to pick some stuff that I'm like, oh, I haven't even seen that movie. So we'll see what you pull out of the bag. But before we jump into that, I want to thank you guys for hitting the download button on the podcast. And have you guys go on over to our podcast and check us out on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Spotify. We're up on IGTV, Google Podcasts, YouTube. And of course, you can follow us online. We are at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Back in Time Podcast. And then the website is backintimepod.com. So now that we've got our plugs out of the way, JD, let's dive into this, man. So we'll do a simple 5-4-3-2-1 breakdown. Would you like to go first? Do you want to flip for it? Maybe we'll get a Goocher. What do you think?
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna Gooch you, and I'm gonna go first.
Okay. Well, sir, you have the floor. It's all yours.
I have the floor. So my number five movie is essentially based on the fact that I read the book when I was very young, and then come 1996, when this movie hit, I was so excited to watch it because I had read the book and was so familiar with the source material. I'm going to do Thinner.
Okay. I like where you're going.
Have you seen or read Thinner?
I have not read Thinner. Also, I haven't read pretty much anything that he's done, like two or three books at the most, and I can probably count them on one hand here. Yeah, for sure. Christine, I read that book. And then I read, did he do like Hearts of Atlantis? Is that him?
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, I could be way off on that one, or I might just be thinking of the wrong title, but yeah, I have another book like right around 2000. I'll look it up as we're talking, but continue.
So this was a book that my grandmother gave me when I was maybe in fourth grade. And she was like, hey, check out this book. It's really creepy. I think you'll like it. And I read it. I loved it. It was such an interesting and simple concept. The fact that you've got this portly lawyer guy that just hits a gypsy woman with his car and then gets cursed with thinner. And he becomes thinner to the point where it is detrimental to his life. And I don't know, it always stuck to me as a husky kid. I was kind of like, why can't I murder a gypsy and become thinner? Right?
Yeah, I like it. Now, I watched the movie one time. It's been a long, long time since I have gone back to even look at anything from that movie. What is it about the movie that you love?
It's mostly stemming from the fact that I had read the book and was able to relate to the movie through the book. I think that it's a decent attempt at a film. I think the acting is fine. The gypsy performances are, you know, really cool. And then the whole ending scene, I don't want to spoil anything from anybody, but maybe don't eat the pie.
I like it. Okay, now, as you were talking, I did do a quick fact check. I was correct. Hearts, it's actually Hearts in Atlantis. Is the it was a short book that he wrote. And then I also read a book called Duma Key. Duma Key. I don't know if you remember that one. It was in 2008. And then Christine are the three books that I've actually read of his. So, not sure how I got Hearts in Atlantis or Duma Key. I think I just passed it in the store one day and I was like, that looks cool. I think I'll read it. And then I just went through and read it.
Fantastic.
No rhyme or reason. Okay, so you're on the board with Thinner, which is not going to be on my list, but I'm not mad at your pick. But I am going to go in a different direction here. I am going to 1985. I am bringing in one of the two Coreys, and we are talking about Silver Bullet, which is about a werewolf who terrorizes a small town where lives the paraplegic or paralytic Marty Koslow, his uncle, his sister. It stars Gary Busey, Corey Haim, and Everett McGill. So this is a movie that I've watched at least 15 times with my dad. It's one of his favorite movies. We will put it on pretty much every couple of years on repeat. And I love the story. I love his souped up wheelchair that that his uncle builds for him. And I love the whole setting. It's a really cool movie. What do you think about my number five?
No, it's a great pick. I'm actually surprised that it's not appearing higher.
Yeah, it was for tough. You. Yeah, I had it higher at one point, but I bumped it back. I just had to. So, yeah, I'm interested to see if it makes it onto your list. If you want to spoil it, you can. But up
no,
to
let,
you.
Let's roll the dice.
Let's roll it. Okay. So, flipping over to you, what do you got for number four, JD?
Again, I am going to play the nostalgic card, and I feel like this one is not going to be on your list, or maybe not even on your radar. I'm going to 1997 with The Night Flyer.
Okay, that's a movie I have not watched.
Okay.
Tell me about the movie.
I caught this movie on HBO when I was like maybe 10 years old, and it's basically a serial killer flying from small airport to small airport, killing everyone that they find. And then Miguel Ferrer is like this journalist that is caught on to this, like, oh my gosh, there's this night flyer going around the country, killing everybody during the night.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be this vampire that is going from airport to airport and just killing everyone. And it ends with this, like, just ridiculous bloodbath where Miguel, like, murders everyone in the airport.
Okay.
And the night flyer just kind of walks off and he's like, peace out, bro. And you have this journalist with, like, blood up to his knees.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's not me, it's the night flyer.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. And it's not, I having rewatched it within the last maybe 6 years, it's not as good as I remember when I was 10, which I think a lot of people could probably say to the effect of a lot of Stephen King stories. They're a lot better when you're younger.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, I loved this movie. I love this movie, The Night Flyer. Check it out. Get your hands on it. It's a great watch. It's got Miguel in it.
Miguel, okay. I like that. Now, here's one thing I really like about the casting. And we haven't done this movie yet, but you know it's on my list because it's one of my favorite comedies. It has Dan Monahan in this, who plays the role of Merton Morrison. Now, Dan Monahan is Pee-wee from the movie Porky's. And I have barely ever seen him in anything other than Porky's, so I'm in. I will 100% watch this.
You should. It's a cool movie.
Okay. Very nice. I like your pick. Not one of his big name movies by any means. Doesn't look like it did much of anything at the box office, but that's a sleeper pick there.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like so, you said.
Yeah. Now I'm going over to number four for probably the movie that's grossed the most money out of anything that he's made. It is currently in theaters now as part two. We are in 2017. We're following a group of bullied young kids in 1989 in a small town of Derry, and we are talking about It. Now, the reason I'm not talking about the 1990 miniseries is I've actually never watched it. So, I know, shame on me. I just wasn't into clowns when I was five, man. I don't know. I just they kind of freaked me out, so I stayed away from clowns. But when I saw this in theaters 3 years ago, it's just such a good movie, man. I love the first one. The second one's awesome as well. So just as a back-to-back 1-2 punch, as far as success goes, this is the tip of the top for him. What do you think about my pick?
No, I think it's a great pick. I really feel like we should have rounded this list out to be a top 10.
Yeah.
Even as I'm like examining what I have for 3-2-1, I'm kind of like, oh, I need to shuffle.
Okay. I'm not going to do any shuffling. I'm leaving my list as it is. Even though I am thinking of other movies as we're going, I'm like, ooh, how did I leave that out? Ooh, how
exactly.
Did I leave that out?
And
yeah.
I feel like my number three pick is going to either rub you the wrong way, or you're going to say like, yup.
Okay. Well, let us wait no more. What do you got?
I have to say this movie just is near and dear to me for a number of reasons. 2004's Secret Window.
Secret Window. Okay. This was a movie I passed on in theaters, but I did catch it on Redbox.
It's a really cool movie. It's really unique. It speaks to me as a writer because Johnny Depp's character, there's a number of moments where he's just pounding away at the keyboard and he just has to step away. And my favorite line, like, and I say this all the time, that's just crap writing. It's just bad writing. Like, I'll write something and I'll be like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's just bad writing. What am I thinking? And the way, and obviously, this is the kind of movie that you can only watch once. And once the rug is pulled out from under you, you're kind of left with being like, oh, yeah, I can spot every detail leading up to the twist. But the first time you watch it, it's like the first time you eat some brisket. It's delicious.
Right. Okay. Well, I do like your pick. I would not have put it even on my top 10, but it's not because it's not a good movie. It's just not one of my favorites of his, but I do actually really like the movie. So not mad at your pick at all. Now we will scoot on over to my number three. We are going to 1994. It's a drama film and was one of the biggest movies of the year. We've got Andy Dufresne. We've got Red. And we are talking about The Shawshank Redemption. Such a good movie. I don't know how many awards they won. I know there were quite a few that they were either nominated or actually won in those certain categories. But it's just simply an amazing movie from start to finish. I love the story. It's not a movie that I'll put on all the time. But if it's on TV, like I will sit there and watch it for as long as I can. So, JD, what do you think about my pick, man?
Again, like, as I'm listening to your picks, it's making me realize I should have shuffled my pick. Because I'm not going to lie to you, it's not included in my top five, but that doesn't mean that it's not a top pick. It's an excellent movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
but just... Yeah.
Tim, this is the best movie from Tim Robbins, hand down. It's his number one film. So, yeah, I love it. Who directed that movie? Do you remember off the top of your head? Was it, here it is. Frank Darabont.
There you go.
Yeah, he's solid. And he did the screenplay for it as well. Okay. Very nice. Now, let's get to number two. We're racing toward the finish line here, JD. What's coming in at your number two spot?
Audience, I feel like you know me oh so well. I'm going to head to 1987.
Okay.
I'm going to head to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, no.
I am heading to Richard Dawson. I am heading to The Running Man.
Some might even say you're running to The Running Man.
I am running to The Running Man. I love this movie. It's a fantastic movie. It's so, there's so much excitement. There's so much satire in it, which is, like, for me, I love satire.
Mm-hmm.
I love the tale that this tells of, you know, 1987 American television culture, game show culture, everything that Arnold goes through. And it just, it's such a unique movie. Like, if you watch or have ever watched professional wrestling, I think you would watch this movie and you can relate to every single one of the characters. It's cool, and he wins out in the end.
Yeah, on the heels of just Arnold's tippy top of his fame, right in the 80s, it's following up Terminator, it's following Predator. Very good movie. Gosh, it's been so long since I've watched this movie.
It's a fantastic movie. It holds up.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch it. That has to be an episode down the road.
Yes,
we will at some point get to The Running Man, no doubt.
It's a fantastic movie. It's just, it's so cool and so unique, and it's contained in such a way that, like, a lot of movies try to do nowadays, like where you try to do like a contained thriller, but it does it on such a large scale, which a lot of films miss the mark about including that.
Okay. So JD, for my number two pick, I'm going to see if you can help me out a little bit here. Do you remember the name of my first car?
Penis Bomb?
No, it wasn't Penis Bomb. It was red.
No, I don't think I was around for your first car. I only remember
you. No, we've talked about it on the podcast, I thought. Okay. Well, yeah, the orange truck was cool.
Yeah.
I'm in 1983. It's about a nerdy boy who buys a strange car, and nature starts to change and reflect to it. It's a horror thriller from John Carpenter, Christine, number two pick. Yes. I had a copy of the book in my glove box. I had a red Camaro. It wasn't the same car, obviously, as the one he drives, but yeah, I love this movie. It's on repeat. I watch it every year. I watch the director's cut, and yeah, man, just big fan. John Stockwell, underrated actor from the 80s. Keith Gordon, now a really good director as Arnie Cunningham, or as they call him in the movie, Cuntingham, when he's getting made fun of. And yeah, we've got some Robert Prosky as well, is the man that runs the garage. He's got a good line in there. My dad always says this too. Like, if somebody comes by and their muffler's blowing out smoke, he'll be like, get that mechanical asshole out of here. So yeah, I love this movie. What do you think about my number two?
No, it's a great pick. It's an awesome movie. I love this movie. I totally forgot that you had a Christine.
Yep. I sure did. Yep. I missed that car. I wonder if it's out there thinking about me. Kind of like in the movie.
Well, did you put it in the gas tank?
You know. Plead the fifth. All right. Well, we are to the finish line, man. You started at number five with Thinner. Then you went to The Night Flyer. Your third pick was the 2004 film Secret Window. And then you were running, man, into number two. What do you got for the number one pick of your favorite Stephen King movie?
You know, this list is, it's increasingly difficult to try to, like, fathom Stephen King's career and put it down into list form, because there are probably 6 or 7 movies that I love that I watch quite regularly that didn't make the cut.
Okay.
And with that said, I am going to choose a movie, one of the few movies that made me cry.
Hmm.
And I'm going to go to 1999, and I'm going to say The Green Mile.
Oh, wow. Okay. I did not see that coming from you.
You know, it was... I wanted it to be It. I wanted it to be Christine. I wanted it to be so many things. And as I was going through this list, I was like, this is like the only Stephen King movie that made me like seriously emotional.
Yeah.
And I didn't see this movie until maybe 2005 for the first time. And there's something about it that really resonated with me about his writing style to create a dramatic character in this post-traumatic event.
Mm-hmm.
That just, it has always stuck with me. And it's just, it's... To me, I feel like Stephen King cheapens himself with a lot of his just schlock work.
Okay.
You know, like you talked about Hearts in Atlantis. We can talk about 1408. We can talk about The Dark Half, Cat's Eyes, Neat Things. We can talk about Children of the Corn. Like, there's a lot of just schlock that he produces. But this was a tearjerker. And I feel like there was some heart and emotion that really went into creating the story, and it's just well written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting that you picked the one book that I've read out of how many and just crap all over it with Parts of Atlantis. I remember watching it in like 2001 or 2002. And the movie came out, and I was like, God, why do I know every bit of the story? And I was like, oh, shit, I read the book. Like, it was like one of the few times in my life. I'm like, I know what the fuck's going on. This is kind of cool. And then you shit all over it.
Hey, again, I picked The Night Flyer in my topic. I
gotta bust your balls, you know.
Dave's, you know, Papagadopoulos Pinocchio podcast, he's going to give us so much shit. You like The Night Flyer, he'll say?
I don't know what he'll say. Okay, well, I really like your number one pick. That was a movie that I had considered putting on my list, but I haven't gone back to watch it since it came out, and I just can't put a movie on a list that I've seen one time. I've got to have seen it a few times to go, that's one of my favorites. So that's a movie that I like. I respect their work. But yeah, I can't put it on the list.
So what is your number one, Kyle?
That is the question that we've all been waiting for here. I started with Silver Bullet. Number 4, I went to It. And then it was some time in the tank with Shawshank Redemption. My second pick was Christine. Number 1, JD, won't you stand with me, or stand by me in this case, the 1986 drama from Rob Reiner, also our movie of the week that we're covering on the podcast. I mean, what can I say? I mean, I've watched the movie 50 times. I've watched the DVD commentary with the movie 3 or 4 times. I just love everything about the movie. I love the cast. We're going to talk about this. I had thought about actually putting out the Stand By Me episode before we recorded this because it's done and it's ready to go. But I feel like this needs to come out first, and Stand By Me is going to come out later in the week on Friday. And now that I'm thinking about it, because for this reason alone, to get you guys so excited that I would put it number 1, hopefully that'll make everyone want to listen to how we break it down. Now, JD, you had not watched the movie. We got into a lot of really good stuff last night when we were recording it. Do you have anything that stands out about the Stand By Me episode?
Yeah, I think that you brought up a lot of really good points, and I love the way that you sort of created parallels between the movie and included a lot between the casting and the book. And then, you know, a lot of the conversation that we had comparing it to movies like The Sandlot and comparing it to J.G. Salinger. It's one that, like, it was so hard for me not to have it in my top five, but I had to pick personal movies. And yeah. I didn't have that personal connection the way that you did with this movie because I didn't see it till much later in my life.
Yeah, that's fine, man. Hey, you ripped me apart for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but here we are, and you have not watched Stand By Me. A little egg on your face now. How's that feel?
Well, it's better than having some jism on my face. Yeah, there you go.
It's a good turn. Now, if that wasn't enough to get you excited, let me read this little quote for you as a little preview to our episode here in a couple days. After director Rob Reiner screened the movie for Stephen King, he noticed that King was visibly shaking and wasn't speaking. So he left the room, gave him some time. And upon his return, he told Reiner that that movie was the best adaptation of his work he had ever seen. Now, obviously, that's 86. A lot has come out after. I don't know if it's still his favorite, but I mean, that kind of speaks volumes because he had done quite a bit at 86.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Well, there it is, guys. That's our breakdown of top five Stephen King movies. If you have any ideas for future episodes, let us know over at Back in Time Pod. We want to hear some ideas, maybe something we haven't thought about yet. Yeah, let us know. Send us a tweet or DM us. Maybe we might even have you on as a guest so you can come on here and talk about some of your favorite movies. Now, as always, make sure you guys subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Those are the preferred destinations, but we're also up on CastBox, Google Podcast, and IGTV. You can follow us at Back in Time Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I am at KAutry29. JD is at Unjust Justin. But for now, we are out of time. Time to get back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and head back to present day. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you in a couple days. See ya!
The original It miniseries is actually really good. Check it out. It's like 3 hours.